I like to catch the news on the internet. Not that I like the news, but I like to catch the news on the internet. And I've noticed on MSN.com, they will have quite often a caption or a title that says, you know, the 10 most spectacular palaces and castles. Or they'll have the 10, you know, most notable historical landmarks that you should see at least once in your lifetime. And they'll have all these categories. You know, the top 10 tourist destinations, the top 10 beaches, top 10 mountain views, and on I go. You get the idea, right? It's interesting how we classify stuff as being in the top, right? What's the most marvelous thing you've ever seen? What's the most marvelous place you've ever been to? You know, even what is the best book you've ever read? And I know in the church you're expected to say, the Bible, right? Okay, I got that, you know. But think about it. Today's lesson is about seeing Jesus. So I'm going to tell you the end of the sermon now. And when you hear it, you'll know the end of the sermon has happened. How's that? All right. The transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ is not about a place. It's about him, a person. And so here's what happens. We say, I want to see Jesus so I can believe. I want to see Jesus so I can believe. But what about I believe, therefore I see only Jesus? In the life of Christ, there was a time when he had done a miracle and they wanted to make him king. There were times in his teachings when they would go, what is this? A new teaching. And they were all astonished. What is this? See, he cast out demons, you know. What? They would ask what instead of who. Once in a while, you see in the scriptures, like the centurion, the soldier at the foot of the cross saying, surely this was the Son of God, right? He saw Jesus for who he was. In our lifetime in the scriptures, as we read and reread and learn and Bible study and the like, we see the times where people encountered Christ and we're not sure if they got it. The 10 lepers, only one comes back and worships, right? They saw him, but they didn't see him. Thomas, after the resurrection, in the upper room. It was the second appearance of Christ to the disciples in the upper room. And Thomas had said before then, but when they heard he had been there once, he said, unless I see, unless I... And Jesus shows up. And the words to Thomas is, Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The transfiguration narrative is about us who believe, God's people who believe, and we see him. I mean, think about who was transfigured, and you could almost do a list based on the Apostles' Creed, you know, from his humiliation to his exaltation. But this Jesus that we see, this Jesus that we believe, is the one who comes in the Word. Think about it. The very Word of God is Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we learn he's the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh, and now dwells among us. And John, the disciple, says, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten. He believed, and he saw. The written word is the living word that the Holy Spirit uses to create and sustain faith. And that faith is directed at Christ, at the cross and the empty tomb, at his ascension and his promise to come again. The word that is from Jesus was the same word that was at creation, and it's the same word by whom all things were made. Everything that was made. Remember in Genesis, you have the Spirit hovering, and God said, and right there you have Jesus, said, the Word made flesh. So all that was created, by whom all things were made, and that word was told to the prophets, and the prophets wrote it down, and it was shared with the people. And the people beheld the promise of the one to come. And they, by faith, they would envision that. And when they stopped looking at Jesus, they began to look elsewhere. And how many times did the nation of Israel become unfaithful? Where was their focus? Yeah, it was away. Jesus and the Word are not separate things. I think that's our mistake this day. The last few Sundays, Pastor Allen, he preached, and the sermons that I've been having have been focusing on Scripture. We have looked at the Bible as a book. Okay? And we have the dilemma. Is it God's word cover to cover, or does it contain God's word, which means, does it contain man's word? Does it contain human editing and all of that? And you have this whole scholarship that's devoted to that and those questions. And unfortunately, in our world today, people believe that the Bible has something in it, but they're not always convinced what it is. In many ways, are we not like Thomas? Unless I actually see Jesus, I'm having difficulty believing. But isn't the work of the Holy Spirit flipping that around? The disciples that went up to the high mountain, and there they saw Jesus transfigured, and there they saw Moses and Elijah, and there they saw Christ as radiant as ever. More than anything on earth could make something bright and white. And there they heard the voice of God the Father. This was not the first time God spoke from the heavens, for he also spoke at the baptism. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And again, the Father says, this is my Son. But notice the next part of that. Listen to him. We have gotten kind of the cart before the horse. We want to see Jesus, and then we'll listen. And God says, listen to him. And in that sense, by faith in the word, you will see Jesus. And so humanity is stuck in a rut, aren't we? We pray for theophanies. You know what those are? God events. We had a VBS program. I can't remember how many years ago, Claire, sorry. You know, I slept since then, but, you know, we had God sightings, you know, and the kids were supposed to say when they saw God in action, and it was a beautiful theme. If you want to see Christ, go to the Scriptures. Stop looking every place else. Yes, in believers, you will see Christ. I've done memorial services and funeral services, and I've talked to family, and I would say, how did you see Christ in this person? Because Christ is present by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is true. But in that human being who is a saint and sinner, you do have those imperfections. But in Christ, there is no sin. I mean, which would you rather see, the original or a copy of a copy of a copy? And so God reminds us, and as Jesus tells the disciples as they're coming down the mountain, you know, don't tell anybody until I have risen from the dead. Because if you look at Christ and you look at all that he said and all that he did, and then you stop at the cross, what do you have left? But hopelessness. But if the Christ we see, if the Christ we believe, if the Christ we hold on to, if the Christ we treasure is the one who came down, born of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and buried and rose again, now what do you have? You have victory over sin, death, and the devil. You have eternal life. You're looking at the Lord, the Savior of us all. Isn't that the Jesus that the Father wants us to believe in? And isn't that the Jesus that we look to? In the book of Hebrews, it tells us, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. But our difficulty is we're putting our eyeballs on so many other things. We count the top 10 palaces as being so awesome. And we can't wait to get to all the top 10 beaches in the world. And we can't wait to, well, you know, some of us don't want to go to the mountains when it snowed. But you understand? We are often distracted by what we're looking for. And what we're looking for, we can often find in this world, but it does not give us strength for life everlasting. And so the glorious message of the Transfiguration is really that simple. How about you? I want to see Jesus, right? But how about you?
I believe,
therefore I see only Jesus. It's a pretty good vision. Amen.